Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin, and every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. This episode is the final installment in a four-part series looking at the ISF's report, Threat Horizon 2025, Scenarios for an Uncertain Future. Today we explore the third and final known unknown outlined in the report, the future of international relations, ideologies clash in the hyper-connected world. Steve, thanks so much for being here. International relations and clashing ideologies, not just yours and mine, always seem to be top of mind these days with the increasing political polarization we are seeing in so many countries. And of course, the war still ongoing in Ukraine now for more than a year as we record this.
Ideological views that inform national identities and agendas have pretty much always heavily influenced the way individual countries behave on the world stage. And, you know, in this age of hyperconnectivity, the consistent supply and cost of global resources such as energy, food, minerals, materials are linked much less to logistical challenges than to the behaviors of individual nations, blocs, and regions. The relationships between those entities will increasingly influence the ways in which organizations operate, manage their cost bases, and drive their productivity and profitability. The operational and strategic risks they face will be heavily determined by the nature and stability of international relationships. Military conflicts, opposing ideologies, climate change, natural disasters, and contrasting economic approaches will drive nations down different and perhaps even conflicting paths. Some will embrace a more isolated, self-interested position that takes the form of nationalism, whereas others will embrace globalization as a more attractive proposition. Innovations and change in digital and data economies will add another dimension. The speed of their evolution will determine the viability of cyber warfare, dictate the efficacy of digital and data espionage, and could see the internet become balkanized, further cutting off those nation states already physically isolating themselves. The splintering of the internet could accelerate in response to attempts to globalize and harmonize digital and data legislation. Such changes shape a world in which varying degrees of collaboration and confrontation will define international relations. So not much going on.
No, very little. Let's start with looking at our first known unknown scenario here. My favorite, known unknowns. Regulation sours special relationships. An austere world sees technical development and investment slow to a crawl. Meanwhile, improved relationships between many nations prompts a collective effort to share data, improve security, and compensate developing regions devastated by climate change. So we've got the good and we've got the bad.
Yeah, and the first threat in this scenario is that expanding international data regulation will be an expensive distraction. While globalization opens trading opportunities for organizations, the increased use of data between geographies is policed by conflicting regulation and legislation that changes frequently. This added complexity affects operating costs and productivity.
The next threat the report names is that increased technical debt amasses vulnerabilities. Explain that one a bit.
Yeah, well, as capital expenditure and operating expenditure budgets are squeezed, there is a risk that hardware and software assets fail to be maintained to supportable levels. This buildup of technical debt puts organizations at risk of being caught out by unpatched security vulnerabilities or failing hardware.
And then there's a little bit more bad news for the security team, I'm sorry to say. That's the threat that reduced investment in security skills will limit effective protection. That's a big one.
Yes. You know, rising business taxes hamper recruitment plans for organizations. Unable to meet the increasing salary demands of candidates, unfilled vacancies diminish organizations' ability to manage security or to respond to incidents and increases the chances of burnout for existing staff.
So fix this for us. What can organizations do to prepare?
The growing influence of globalization will present organizations with the opportunity to engage with new markets that they couldn't previously access. And it's highly likely that entering new nations, not currently aligned with existing trading blocs, will subject organizations to huge rafts of unfamiliar regulation and legislation that they will have to comply with before trade can begin or face hefty fines.
So it sounds like we're looking at really a perfect storm. Rising costs, requirement for larger inventories, higher business taxes, falling consumer demand, all having a major effect on business profits and, subsequently, the level of resources that can be invested into technology and into people.
Exactly. And even though technology is advancing slowly, many organizations will have a program in place to refresh IT assets, purchase new security tools, and fill gaps in security departments. But with the expenses you just mentioned, conversations with the board about the costs of such projects will become fraught as funding is tight. Security managers need to consider how they prioritize and justify their information security demands amid such constraints, including how they demonstrate the value of any such investments to the business. Chief information security officers may have to decide between investing in technology or the information security team. And this will be a difficult decision, and there will be pros and cons for each decision made, certainly in terms of balancing risk versus reward.
The report itself recommends some specific steps. Companies need to define an organizational policy for hardware and software supportability that strikes an acceptable balance between OpEx budget burn down and acceptable levels of technical debt. And they need to establish current levels of compliance with the policy.
And they should source legal advisors who can provide guidance on navigating international data regulations, particularly focusing on areas of conflict pertinent to the organization in question. Now is the time to be exploring those options, so that you have time to find the right ones in advance of needing them. Organizations should also look into creating links to business functions in charge of new markets to aid early discussions to ascertain what risks need to be considered when entering these new markets.
So they should definitely take these steps early on. What should businesses be looking to do further down the road?
Well, long-term, business leaders need to deliver a costed plan to manage hardware and software obsolescence, expedited in critical asset priority order, in line with the organizational policy. They'd also want to work with regulators to understand potential changes in attitudes and regulations.
That makes sense. The last piece of advice here that I also really like is similarly people-focused. Develop talent and succession plans for critical information security resources and functions. Tell us more about that.
That's right. Organizations need to look at the best and most cost-effective ways to fill gaps. And some alternatives include apprenticeships, for instance, we've talked about that on the podcast before, internal training of entry-level recruits, and indeed cross-training of existing IT and operational technology staff.
Okay, so this brings us to our next scenario, digitized utopia. That's one that actually sounds kind of pleasant. So why is that threatening? I want a utopia.
The easy availability of new technology provides an opportunity to address challenges including climate concerns, energy security, and the governance of AI. Each is approached with collective determination and willingness to engage at a level of international cooperation and trust rarely seen before, as nations adopting globalization become increasingly dependent on each other.
The report mentions two threats under this scenario. First, increased international trade makes organizations a bigger target. And that makes sense that as international trade increases, organizations become far more valuable targets as the volume and value of data under their control grows. Fines from regulation increase, reputations are damaged by high-profile data breaches, and that proves costly and difficult to repair, correct?
Exactly. And then the second threat here is that security fails to keep pace with technologically advanced threat actors. Threat actors leverage innovations in new technology, including AI, to create potent new strains of malware. New zero-day exploits emerge faster than ever before. Organizations struggling with cyber hygiene and/or lacking up-to-date detection and response capabilities face increased risk of compromise from these new strains and threat vectors.
So we're preparing for a future in which improved global trade possibilities allow the largest companies to grow far quicker than others, which means those organizations become huge targets.
Precisely. And their larger customer bases, combined with developments in AI, will allow them to collect vast amounts of valuable data that will require far more governance in the face of increased regulation. The greater use of AI tools will open organizations up to increased avenues of attack. Threat intelligence will prove to be extremely valuable in identifying the potential source and nature of those attacks. As highly skilled personnel are laid off in favour of cheaper alternatives in other countries, businesses will have to consider potential retribution. Mm. A proportion of those made redundant will be tempted into economic cybercrime, engaging in insider threat activity either before or after they're pushed through the exit door. And organisations will need to take steps to monitor and manage the insider threat.
What does that look like in the short term, do you think?
First of all, I think that organisations are going to have to ensure credentials and access rights are rescinded immediately for all people who leave the organisation. Mm-hmm. Then they need to consider implementing or increasing the use of threat intelligence to help monitor brand perception and the business reputation. And these can be early indicators of potential attacks or problems. And then finally, they should evaluate the current and potential future use of AI within the organisation.
And longer term, I understand there's more need to look closely at what's currently happening in one's own organization, assessing where data is held and how that may be affected by upcoming incoming regulation, and whether there's scope for moving that data to another jurisdiction. That's interesting.
Then they need to use threat intelligence to enhance monitoring and response options. Organizations should link these into security operations centers to help reduce the risk from a zero-day exploit. And they should also be adding AI applications to asset lists, governance structures, and support documentation.
Our third scenario presented under the future of international relations is sort of related to this digital utopia, and that's technological dystopia. So tell us more about this. How do we get here?
Well, strained by increasing nationalism around the world, international relations take a turn for the worse. This new world is full of disinformation, corporate espionage, as nations attempt to rectify their slow take-up of new technology by simply stealing it from others.
Huh. The report names three potential threats here. First, we've got corporate intellectual property being targeted by nation-states. Hostile nation states seek a competitive advantage by attempting to steal high-value IP from organizations in other countries. Should those attempts succeed, victim organizations are damaged when their IP is developed into a viable product by another organization. And the ensuing diplomatic fallout further damages international relations. It sounds like a mess.
Yes. And then there's the threat of disinformation campaigns tarnishing reputations. Poor international relations encourage nation-state social media campaigns that spread misinformation and disinformation against high-profile organizations synonymous with other countries. The more damaging campaigns cause lasting reputational damage to organizations and heighten the risk of a diplomatic incident. Additionally, disinformation causes attrition as employees believe false claims about their employers that conflict with their own personal values.
Those are really threatening, really chilling. And the last threat under this scenario is that cyber war has severe ramifications. And I can't imagine why ISF would be concerned about that.
No, why would we be?
Seems harmless.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as political tensions flare between nations, a version of cyber war far more effective than we've seen so far in the Ukraine, for instance, erupts. Critical national infrastructure is the main target, but organizations in other sectors, such as finance, are also deliberately hit. The involvement of advanced persistent threat groups and opportunism from threat actors broaden the range of targets further to cover all verticals.
So please, quickly, to still my beating heart, how do organizations prepare for that?
When IP represents significant value to the international market, the risk of theft by nation-state actors with the means and motives to attempt audacious crime becomes a significant threat. Organizations should immediately consider exactly how they protect such property to reduce opportunities for an event afflicting their business. Incident response teams will need to be primed for an increasing level of malicious activity, deliberately designed to influence consumer opinion of the business. Transparency from the outset and quick and well-prepared responses will allow the organization to proactively put its case and debunk blatant untruths before the viral nature of social media is allowed to run riot with fake stories. Mm-hmm. As international tensions rise, organizations should assess how big a target they may be to a nation state and its agents, or those taking advantage of the chaos to perpetrate financial crime. Organizations in some industries will already know they're susceptible to direct action, but a full-on cyber war is likely to have a colossal blast area with plenty of collateral targets caught in the crossfire, primarily through supply chain attacks.
I think that
is probably one of the most intense and dire predictions you've ever made on this podcast. And that is really saying something because you have given me a lot to cry about. But it's important and it's helpful to have eyes wide open. I know that we'll follow the report here on short-term and long-term actions, but, you know, just give me a little hope here. Pick me up off the ground where I'm laying in a puddle.
Well, I'm not sure the world is ending just yet.
Okay.
And there are certainly steps we can, you know, and there are certainly steps we can take to mitigate the risks here. Starting with considering where the crown jewels reside and determining whether they should be internet facing, stored on third party cloud infrastructure, or indeed brought in house.
There is actually some comfort in knowing that the ISF has been advising members to do this sort of assessment for years. So I know that many are already on top of this. And I imagine that short of just turning off the internet, we'll also remind organizations to be very mindful of what's happening with their supply chain management as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to be aware of each step in the chain to reduce the risk of becoming collateral damage. They should also assess partnerships with suppliers and other third parties associated with nationalistic countries with increased rigor and frequency. And businesses will also want to engage corporate communications or public relations to plan for the worst outcome.
And then longer term, I know the report repeats more of ISF's usual good advice to practice incident response actions by role-playing multiple incident scenarios. And that's so key, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things that is keeping us busiest at the moment is running what we term cyber simulation exercises. We've got a worldwide rollout of those taking place, which started in the UK, moved across to Europe, is currently in the United States, and will be finding its way down to Southern Africa and then on to Australia and New Zealand in the coming months. Mm. And it's exactly these sorts of exercises that organizations need to be undertaking. And such exercises should also include the organization's PR or communications department so that they understand how to control the narrative following any breach or disinformation campaign. They should also start reviewing threat detection capabilities in light of the increase in espionage to maximize the ability of the organization to know when its networks have been breached and to determine the nature of any resources that are accessed. And then finally, the report recommends that they consider a strategic move to zero-trust architecture models to mitigate APT and post-compromised lateral movement, aligned to the risk and value associated with organizational intellectual property.
Okay, and that brings us to our final scenario of the report, amusingly termed hostile embraces. Thank you for making me laugh through this. It's very, very helpful. The rapid emergence of new technology may offer opportunities, but acquiring it proves challenging. Several countries embrace nationalism, increasing geopolitical conflict, and place the supply of computing components at risk.
The first threat in this scenario is that short supply of computing components affects order fulfillment. Fragility in supply chains and just-in-time inventory strategies exposed both by the pandemic and the conflict in Ukraine remain vulnerable to geopolitical whims and shifting relationships between different nations. Organizations without reserves of key components or access to alternative legitimate suppliers are pushed towards questionable supplies or put out of business completely.
Hmm. And then the splinter net dissolves combined law enforcement efforts. The splinter net, of course, is the division of the internet into separate cyberspaces, in this case based on nationality, yes?
Yeah. And as nations back away from traditional cyberspace to create their own walled garden versions of the internet, replete with state control and surveillance, government propaganda will seek to control citizens' perception of foreign nations, fueling further divides between countries. Organizations face operational challenges in those nations while cross-border law enforcement ceases to be effective. Hmm. Bad actors prosper, expanding their criminal organizations and attacking far more targets, safe in the knowledge that the risk of prosecution is low.
So what can businesses do to prepare in the face of that bleak scenario?
Well, the reliance of modern enterprise on semiconductors and the technology that depends upon them is irrefutable. If worsening international relations disrupt the supply of such critical components, the ability to purchase, upgrade, or maintain assets that comprise the beating heart of all digitally transformed organizations will be heavily curtailed. So it's essential that organizations carefully consider what their critical assets are, where alternative supplies might be sourced from, and how supply chain issues could affect all aspects of their operations. In short, they need to ensure they are as resilient as possible. This is particularly relevant given the uncertain times the world finds itself facing. Any organization continuing to trade with nations that disconnect from the global internet will be required to adapt to an environment in which all communication with citizens is heavily sanitized and scrutinized by their respective government, or indeed not permitted at all. This may also mean having to adapt to stringent regulations, an obligation to maintain a physical presence in such a country, or the need to exit that market altogether. In such a future, an awareness of how global law enforcement will police a fractured internet will be absolutely key to understanding how online risks may evolve.
I've read more about the concept of the splinternet, and that may be something we want to revisit in an upcoming episode. But in the meantime, organizations can start to prepare by building a comprehensive picture of how their organization interacts with international stakeholders. They also need to review their supply chains, as always, and start to build resilience for key services or components. And then they should start to onboard alternative suppliers so that they're ready to go if change is required. So again, be aware of what's already happening in your organization and reach out to new contacts so you're prepared for changes if necessary. Hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Exactly. And longer term, they can put contingencies in place to protect the organization from supply chain challenges. Those holding inventories should consider increasing held stock levels, for example. They also need to consider how trading in nations with their own isolated versions of cyberspace invites potential state surveillance and could lead to a breakdown in the policing of the internet as a whole. And finally, back to the supply chain, organizations need to adjust supply chain processes to ensure risk evaluations pertinent to the countries of origin are a consideration of any decision to trade or not. Ensure these assessments are regularly updated too.
Well, this has been an invaluable series. And as always, I really appreciate that we're talking not just about the threats that organizations need to worry about, but how they can be wise and strategic and resilient as they navigate those challenges. So thank you for this wonderful report, the wonderful costuming in your visual supports, which people should check out, not just listen to this series, but really do spend some time with the report. It's invaluable, and it's, in its own way, highly entertaining. Thank you for being here with us, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tavia.
Listeners, you can find the Threat Horizon Report 2025, Scenarios for an Uncertain Future, at securityforum.org. And you can go back to Threat Horizon Reports from previous episodes of our podcast. You'll find those in our feed, and we'll link them in the show notes. In the meantime, if you would take 10 seconds to pull up this podcast on whatever device you're listening, give us a 5-star rating, and write a quick review, we'd be grateful. You can also listen to the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in-depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research is uniquely applied to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen. And of course, we'll put a link to that show in our show notes. If there's a topic or question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find our catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with senior producer Katie Flood. Mix and master by Kayla Elrod. Music by Alexander Filipiak. Thanks for listening.